There is always a germ somewhere in our surroundings. If it happens to be a virus, then that means the danger is a serious one. When the virus enters our bodies by the nose or mouth, it seeks out a suitable cell for itself. However, there is a defending army ready to receive it. The first units of that army to encounter the virus are the macrophages, which constantly stand guard in our bodies. In other words, the eradication units which patrol our bodies. Macrophages prevent an enemy from installing itself in our bodies by moving around between the cells. They have received special training to distinguish viruses from the cells of our bodies. Due to their structure, they can head for a number of targets and destroy several germs at the same time. They swallow and digest everything they perceive to be foreign, and then continue on their way. If the enemy is in such numbers as to overwhelm the attacking macrophages, then the macrophages secrete a substance known as pyrogen. This substance calls the entire immune system to arms. Pyrogen also stimulates the temperature rising center of the brain, causing a fever. A person whose temperature is going up will naturally feel the need to rest. He is thus prevented from expending his energy in any other way, and all the body's energy is diverted to the war. Before the war begins, it is essential for the defense system to have knowledge of its enemy and to gather intelligence. Here an important task falls to the macrophages, since they are the units which engage in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy and make the first contact with it. To that end, when the macrophages catches and swallows a virus, it carries a part unique to the virus as an information packet in such a way as to be recognizable from the outside. This is intelligence information prepared for the immune system's helper T cells. These rather dynamic units decipher and disseminate the intelligence regarding the enemy to every unit in the army. As soon as they receive the intelligence, the helper T cells first warn the other cells about the enemy threat. They give off a molecule known as lymphokine to do this. This chemical message is the war cry which immediately sends the other cells into action. Thus begins the production of antibodies in the B lymphocytes, which are waiting to neutralize the foe. Because of this strategic duty, B lymphocytes are like weapon-producing factories. The antibodies, produced by the analysis of the intelligence, resemble rockets specially targeted at the enemy. The B cells' antibody production takes place at an astonishing speed. They produce thousands of antibodies a second. As we have seen, this communication between helper T cells and B cells is a very sensitive alarm code calling the whole army to produce weapons. Emergency mobilization has now been declared in the body, which is now engaged in total war. The defending army is mustered and soon made ready. With its three-dimensional protein structure, the antibody fits the enemy like a key in a lock. They will lock to a specific area of the virus or bacteria identified by intelligence and damage the enemy's biological structure. The invading germs will thus be neutralized. That is because the antibodies produced by the B cells are perfectly designed in the light of intelligence which reaches them. This resembles a tank being struck by a guided missile on the battlefield. In this way, an antibody weapon uniquely tailored to the enemy is produced. To such an extent that an antibody produced for one virus is powerless against another. This sensitive antibody production resembles making keys to match millions of different locks. However, the B cell, invisible to the naked eye, carries out that production with no mistakes. This is an achievement which goes beyond the bounds of human reason. The helper T cell, which disseminate the intelligence about the enemy to all the cells, send another specialist unit into action. Killer T cells. The viruses are neutralized by the antibodies produced. However, invading viruses generally adopt very cunning strategies. Once a virus enters a cell, the antibodies are unable to reach it. Viruses sometimes hide so well inside the cell that neither antibodies nor killer T cells are even aware of their presence. This is because everything looks normal from the outside. Yet despite that, the immune system still senses the presence of something abnormal. In that event, the killer T cells destroy the sickly cell invaded by the virus.
Helper T cells are not limited to warning killer T cells. They also call in the macrophages to clean the scene up without delay.
There is a great intelligence behind this behavior because the killer T cells first have to distinguish between normal cells and those in which the enemy is concealed. When they find an occupied cell, they destroy it by injecting a chemical substance into it. Once victory over the germs has been achieved, suppressor T cells stop the war. The war may be over, but it will never be forgotten. Some B cells which served during the conflict are given long lives and keep the molecular records of the past invaders. The aim behind this is to accelerate any possible war which might break out in the future. When the same enemy is encountered again, the appropriate weapon to deal with it will be produced in a shorter space of time. Memory cells live longer than other cells. Furthermore, they divide at the end of their lives, and the information about a past war is handed on to new memory cells. Thanks to these properties and the information in their memories, they protect the person against disease for years. Thus, a person who catches a disease as a child can never catch it again. The fact is, however, that it is impossible for a cell to set out a long-term strategy and then decide to store information. This is not an ability developed by the cell, of course, but a property given to it by Almighty God. Do not be grieved by what they say. All might belongs to God. He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing.